Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
Got an odd request. I'm hungry, but I'm also freezing. It's so cold and I don't have a place to stay. Can I come in and keep warm and like sleep there?
Pull up to the second window and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. I am John, here with Jamie, stuck in an eternal tundra of coldness.
It does feel like we live in the Arctic, which I mean, I'm oddly okay with. I got a question, though. When you go to an actual drive-thru, do you have the entire order in your head before you speak, or do you just start talking and see what comes out?
Typically, I pretty much know what I want. Sometimes I'll have to ask for a refresher from one of my children.
Yeah. Okay.
Why?
I don't know. I was just curious. The way you order on True Crime to Go, I feel like you're feeling your way through it. And usually when I go to a drive-thru, I know the order I'm saying that I think I have an illness, but I know the order I'm saying everything in, the exact words that I'm saying.
I didn't think about what I was ordering at this restaurant for today's show until I was at the window. I'm living on a wing and a prayer. Wing and a prayer? Is that how that saying goes?
I think living it's a on wing.
A living on a prayer, living
whoa,
on the wing.
Whoa.
Anyway, we have a weird / crazy crime story for you all. And this is I feel like this is not the first time we've spoke about this, but there is a major update in the case. So if we have spoke about it last year, go with us. There's updates.
Okay. Get us rolling.
Today, we're going to be talking about a story that really makes you challenge your thoughts on the perceptions of law versus morality. So today we're going to be talking about if that is a fine line or if it's a little blurry. And we're going to tell you the story about Pastor Chris Avell from Bryan, Ohio. I do want to point out that Bryan, Ohio is the name of a town. And that does not seem like a town in which I would want to live. Where do you live at, Bryan? No, not who are you. Where do you live at?
Bryan, Ohio sounds like the name of, some kind of male entertainer.
Yeah, Bryan, Ohio, Bryan. Bryan, Ohio is a pretty small town, about 9,000 people. But this pastor, Chris Avell, was found guilty for allowing homeless individuals to sleep in his church. Why is that illegal? Tell us more, James.
It's a great question, and I don't think we've talked about this specifically before, but it is. I mean, this comes up in our small community, especially when the weather's like this, people need places to sleep. And Chris leads Dad's Place Church. Never heard of a church called Dad's Place before.
If you invite me to a church and it's called Dad's Place, immediately shut down, not going.
Hard pass. This is near the town square and the county courthouse. For over a year, he opened the church's doors around the clock, offering shelter to anybody in need, especially during these harsh winter months. Now, this act of compassion led to some legal troubles for him once people found out and got kind of fed up. In late 2023, city inspectors noticed people sleeping inside the church. They cited violations of zoning and fire codes, emphasizing safety concerns due to the building lacking proper permits and fire sprinklers for people to be occupying as if in a dwelling.
So the city argued that without those safety measures in place, the church could not legally function as a shelter. They insisted that enforcing these codes was essential to prevent potential disasters. Bryan Fire Chief Douglas Poole stated that if we don't do anything, who's going to get blamed? End quote. We're in a position where we need to enforce the code. Then end quote. So he's saying if something really bad happens and a bunch of homeless people die in a church fire, who's at fault there?
Yeah,
not enforcing the codes or the church for not filing the proper permits?
I'd say both at that point, but he's trying to put it all back on the church, I think, by enforcing the code.
If you know of it and you're aware that there is a code violation and you did nothing, then it falls on them. So I do understand that side of the argument for sure.
On the other hand, Pastor Avell and his attorneys contend that the church's actions were protected under the Constitution and federal laws against discrimination in zoning decisions. In case you're unfamiliar, zoning is basically laws in an area that say, hey, this is a residential area, this can be a manufacturing area, this can be a retail area, and you really can't operate something outside of a zone or in a zone where it's not situated for that particular activity. Avell and his attorneys accused the city of unfairly targeting the church with surprise inspections and argued that other establishments like hotels and shelters weren't held to the same standards, even though they were doing similar things.
Despite these arguments, just last week, January 21st, 2025, a city judge found Pastor Avell guilty of violating zoning and fire codes. He was charged with a $200 fine and the possibility of up to 60 days in jail if he continued to operate the shelter without obtaining the necessary state approvals. They charged a pastor with this, so
they did.
It hurts a little because if you understand the city perspective, but I mean, think about the pastor. Like, no, all of you people who are homeless have to go out in the cold. We don't have a sprinkler system, but I'll be praying for you. Like,
I would love to talk to this pastor and the police chief as well about, like, what are the options? Like, what do they need to do to get the church up to code or to get the right permits versus just not doing this anymore? The pastor's attorneys filed a lawsuit accusing the city of harassing the church and its congregation. They emphasized that the church provided a crucial refuge in a city facing a housing shortage, especially during these freezing temperatures.
So as of right now, the church will remain open, and Pastor Avell plans to appeal this conviction, and he remains steadfast in his mission, stating, "We just continue to do the work God's called us to do, and we trust him with the outcome." Jamie, this is a tough one. I mean, you put yourself in either one of those positions, and I understand the actions of each. I mean, if you're the pastor, you know, you can't look homeless people in the eye and say, "Sorry, I know it's 30 below zero right now, but we don't have a sprinkler system, so sorry." But then I also understand from a county executive's or a city administrator, you know, that liability falls on you if you've been made aware. So it's a tough decision. It's a tough place to be.
I just have so many questions surrounding this as far as the church is situated in town. So is this just because those people are congregating in that part of town and they don't want that population there? Is this targeting that group? This is going to raise a lot of questions and precedents about religious freedoms, because this is a church. Anytime a church is involved in legal actions, it gets very complex very quickly. So a lot of questions here. I suppose the right answer is that community should come together and put forth the resources necessary to get the church up to code. The needs are met. The codes are met. Everybody's okay, unless they were targeting them for a reason, but I want those people to be sad. So
yeah, I think the story that we have is just the tip of the iceberg. I think there's probably a lot more going on behind the scenes that we're not aware of. But I know in our small community, I mean, it's a lot bigger than Bryan, Ohio, but we have a fairly decent sized homeless population.
We do.
And in the wintertime, there are churches that, well, there were churches that used to open up a program that let homeless people come in, but now that has not been allowed to happen. I don't know that it's not allowed to happen in churches, but it's since moved to a local motel, has opened up several blocks of rooms for people, and churches kind of help with the costs of that. But I also remember a time when we had a lot of panhandling and our city put up signs that said, "Do not give these people money." So is it, I'm thinking about us, like in our community and in Bryan, is that the city's way of saying, if we don't feed them, they won't come, you know? Yeah. The opposite of the old baseball saying.
The unhomed, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah, if you don't build it, they won't
come. My mind went to stray cats, and unhomed people are not stray animals. They are humans that need a safe place to stay. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I could see this playing out where the pastor decides to just defy the law, and he'll spend 60 days in jail, and those people have a home. So I don't know. That could make it into a much bigger story. But if it is, we will follow up with whatever happens right here. And this has been an interesting one, a crime story in 10 minutes or less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast. distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.